Thank you, God. Then moving into the book of Romans, in the 12th chapter, beginning with the 9th verse, let us listen for the word of the Lord. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in your confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you and don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame upon their heads. Do not let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So how many times when you were growing up, did your parents tell you to do something and your instinctive reaction was to do anything but? I see some hands moving. I got a hand right up there in the balcony. There you go, brother. Got some folks willing to admit it. It seems to be innately wired into children. Amen? That if you say, don't do this, they will do that. And if you say, don't do that, then they will do this. They always want to do the exact opposite of what you tell them. But then later in life, you know, I know for me personally, I've come to realize that some of those things that I was told to do or not to do that I either did or did not do or did, I actually should have done exactly what I was told. You know, that whole thing about wear your seatbelt, okay? Until that one time you don't, and you realize that without a seatbelt, you don't stay in the car. Or somebody you know doesn't stay in the car. That whole thing, don't text and drive. Well, you know, that works real good. You're like, oh man, I can do it all, until that one time you're looking at your phone and you don't see that there's the car stopped in front of you. You know, those things that we're told that we should do, but we don't want to do that. I think, you know, the term is ornery. We are ornery people. Now, I grew up around, you know, cows and horses and other livestock, and I will tell you that they are ornery too. And you know, just I always remember that just how I could see myself in them, where they would be, you know, the horse never wanted to go where you wanted it to go, or the cow didn't do what you wanted it to do. And I would usually hear either my grandparents or my parents saying, well, you are just like them. We tell you don't go there, and guess what you do? That's where you go. You know, how many of you have ever looked for your child and you said, don't go visit that friend over there, and you realize that they're not where they should be, and guess where they are? That friend where you told them they shouldn't be. Because that's who we are as people. We are ornery people. And I will change that people to Christians. We are ornery Christians. Do you agree with that? You can say amen. Because there are times when we know we're supposed to do something, but we don't. And then there are times when we say, I probably shouldn't do that. That Han Solo moment, for those of you who are young enough to remember Star Wars. I got a bad feeling about this. Well, when you got a bad feeling about this, maybe you shouldn't do this, whatever this is. So here we get to this story about Moses. And I can't come to this passage without just really, it hits me, you know, if I were walking along a path and were to see a bush on fire and realize that the bush is not being consumed. First, if a bush was on fire, I probably would not stick around to see whether it was being consumed or not. I would be like, where's my cell phone? I need to call 911. You know, brush fires, you know, we're living in Florida. You don't want that burning bush to turn into burning bushes. But then to say, well, you know, now the curiosity got the better of Moses, and he goes closer to it, and he goes, wow, that bush isn't being consumed. And then the bush starts talking to him. I would be a little scared at that point. I would be like, okay, this now we have two things that are not going in the way I thought that they would go. I've got a bush being burned that's not being consumed, and now it's starting to talk to me. And I'd be wondering, you know, when's the last time I ate? When's the last time I had something to drink? You know, what's going on? And so Moses gets a little closer, and then God starts speaking to Moses from the bush, and he tells Moses, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, and you are going to lead my people out of Egypt. And what does Moses do? He's ornery. He protests. Don't you love that word in the scripture passage this morning? He protested. He basically is challenging God, going, are you talking to somebody behind me? Is you one of those sheep? What's going on? I know you're not talking to Moses. You know, and he even goes even further to say, you know, I am not the one you should send because I am not an eloquent speaker. And God says, well, you've got a brother. God tells him from the very beginning, I am going to help you. But Moses doesn't seem to buy into that. Do you see that from the scripture passage? God is basically saying, I am sending you. You are going to go. And I know you're being ornery, but guess what? I'm going to tear down every objection you're throwing at me. You can say, well, I can't speak. Well, great. I'm going to give you some help. I'm going to be there to help you. Moses still was probably walking down off that mountain going, am I really the one to go do this job? Now, we know the rest of the story. We know exactly what Moses did, right? He goes to the Pharaoh. He does exactly what God tells him to do, and God does exactly what God said he was going to do. And Moses led the people out of Egypt, and then he has this people following him through the wilderness, and they're kind of paying him back because he had a bunch of ornery Israelites following him through the desert. And Moses would say, do this, and what would they do? The exact opposite. You know, we know that whole story. Moses goes up on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. And what do the people do down at the base of the mountain? They do exactly what they've been told not to do. They create an idol and they start worshiping it. You know, they go through and God provides them with food and it's not the food that they want. So what do? They're ornery and they complain about it. And they go, I really don't want to eat manna for the eighth day in a row. If I have to eat manna one more time, I'm going back to Egypt. Do you remember that part of the story? He had a bunch of ornery people following behind him. It's almost as God was setting him up to say, remember how ornery you were with me up on the mountain when I sent you on this mission? Now you got a bunch of ornery Christians, ornery Israelites, excuse me, following you through the wilderness. But God is still faithful to his word, amen? He leads the people Israel into the promised land, even over the objections and the presumed shortcomings that Moses thought about himself. Now I want you to think about this for a second. I am a firm believer that I do not believe that God sets a bush on fire. All right? And I'm a firm believer that God does not come to you and put something in front of you and say, this is what I want you to do, if he expecting you to say no. Think about that for a second. You know, how many times have we known that God has spoken to us and told us that we need to go do something, and we go do something exactly opposite, thinking that God has given us a choice? You know? Basically, God is saying, do what you're told. I told you to go do this. Now go do this. We see this in Scripture. You know, the Ten Commandments tell us things. Other things in the Bible tell us what that we are to do. But do we do that? No. If we were great at doing even just the Ten Commandments, we wouldn't have to have a prayer of confession at the beginning of our worship service. If we were good at following the Ten Commandments, would Jesus have to have entered into the equation? No. It's because we can't. So now we get to this passage from Romans where we see that Paul is instructing this early church in what to do and how to behave to one another and how to relate to their brothers and sisters. He's telling them that you should do what is good and hate what is evil. He is re-emphasizing for them over and over and over and over and over again that you are to love one another, not envy or hate one another. If somebody does evil towards you, you don't repay it back with evil. You know, growing up, actually, there's more of in the army. We had a term for it that I can't say in the chancel, in the pulpit of a church. But basically, the desanitized term is what I call one-upsmanship. that I'm going to do something to you, and then you did something to me, so I'm going to do something to you that's just a little bit bigger than what you did to me, and then so on and so on and so on. And it goes until the point where somebody gets hurt or something gets destroyed, right? You've seen that happen. Well, you know, you cut me off on 44, so I'm going to cut you off on 95. You cut me off on 95 doing 60 miles an hour. Well, I'm going to cut you off doing 90 miles an hour. You know, that one-upsmanship that gets us into trouble. And Paul is saying, do not repay evil with evil, but repay evil by doing good. How often do you do that on the highway? Somebody cuts you off and you just let them go. You just let them go. You wave at them. You say a little prayer. I know you're not, if you're waving, you're probably not using the full hand, right? And if you're saying something, it's not a prayer. It's kind of like that country and western song where I'm going to pray that the flower pot falls on your head while you're walking under a windowsill. But do we do that? No. Because we want to repay evil with evil. And Paul tells us we are not to do that. That we are absolutely not to do that. Think about this, and I have actually done this in my life, and I will tell you that it works, and it works every time. How many times have somebody done something to you that you felt was so wrong that you never wanted to speak to them again, and they knew they did something to you that was so wrong that you would never want to speak to them again? Imagine what it does to them when you speak to them. It messes with their mind. That burning coals, it heaps burning coals upon their head. Because they are expecting you to return to them what they did to you. That whole adage of hurt people, hurt people. Well, guess what? When people hurt you, love them back, because that's what you're told to do. Think we can do that? Bunch of ordinary Christians? It'll be tough, but we can do that. Then there's this part, and I love, you know, the word enthusiastically. I can never approach the word enthusiastically or enthusiasm without remembering when I was in 10th grade in high school, and I went to this Hugh O'Brien Leadership Conference. And every morning we would wake up and we would go downstairs in this hotel, and before we could eat breakfast, we had to do this chant: to be enthusiastic, you must act enthusiastic. To be enthusiastic, you must act enthusiastic. And we did this over and over and over until somebody finally said, "Oh boy, are we enthusiastic?" Sarcasm implied. But I think Paul is reminding of that. You know, in order to be something, you must act it out. If you want to be enthusiastic, you must act enthusiastic. You just can't say, "I'm enthused about going to church this morning." You have to go, "Man, I'm enthused about going to church this morning. This is great because I know I'm going to be there with my brothers and sisters. I'm going to hear the word of God proclaimed. I'm going to be able to celebrate communion. I'm going to be able to love on my brothers and sisters. And guess what? I'm going to be able to go out the doors and into the world and share that good news with everybody." Can you see the enthusiasm? You know, you have to act it out. And Paul is reminding folks, if you want to be something, you have to be it. You know, that whole adage of be the ball. If you want to be the Christian you've always wanted to be, you have to be the Christian you've always wanted to be. If you want to be the follower of Christ that you've always wanted to be, you have to be the follower of Christ that you've always wanted to be. If you want to say you love your neighbor as yourself, then guess what? You have to go out there and love your neighbor as yourself. And think about, well, if I got cut off in traffic, I wouldn't want them to do this to me. Or if I had this happen in my life, I wouldn't want them to do this to me. I would want to do the exact opposite. So that's what we've been told. So do you think we can do it? Do you think we can do it? I see some heads nodding. I mean, I get it. We'll all say yes to the preacher. You know? You know, I will tell you that my entry into ministry happened walking out the door of a church when a pastor said, "You know, our youth group leader is leaving and we need another youth group leader. Would you and your wife be interested in leading our youth group?" And I remembered at that moment that nobody tells a preacher no, because I couldn't say no. But then again, I realized that that was a God moment, and God put that in front of me, and look at what has come from that journey. How many times have you had that in your life? Look back. I'm not asking for examples. But how many times have you come to a spot in your life where you know God is telling you that you need to go do something, and you're saying, well, I'm probably not the person that needs to do it. But then you realize that, yes, you are the person that needs to do it, because God's not going to ask you to do something that you can't do. He's not going to ask you to do something if He's expecting for you to tell Him no. Amen? So here's the challenge. Here's the way we should look at the world, knowing that we are to do what we are told. Paul tells us that we are to love what is good and hate what is evil, that we are to go out and serve one another enthusiastically. We are to not repay evil with evil, but to repay evil with good. We are to do this for one another. Jesus even boiled it down. He said, you know, I'm going to give you two commandments, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's very easy to do that if you go out and do that. So remember that that's what we are challenged to do today. When we go from this place and we go out into the world and we interact with our brothers and sisters in the world out there, we should always be geared toward doing what is good, even if you don't think that that's what you need to be doing. We should always be willing to serve one another enthusiastically, not to give them verbal platitudes and a little pat on the back and that proverbial bless your heart. If you say you're going to do something, go do it. If you feel that God is pushing you to go someplace and do something, then go and do it. Do it with all the enthusiasm that you have. You remember in our prayer of confession this morning, we talked about people that give their money but don't give their time. You know, the 10% in the book is not money alone. It's 10% of everything that you have been given. I know I've said this a lot, and I'll just keep saying it because, you know, we're ornery, right? Sometimes we need to hear things over and over and over again. But God woke you up this morning, right? You were able to come to church, right? That's 2.4 hours. You owe God because He woke you up and gave you another day. How are you going to give that to Him? How are you going to give that to loving your neighbor as yourself? How are you going to give that serving one another? How are you going to give that serving enthusiastically? Because that's what we are called to do. So when you go out into the world, I want you to go out there and do what you are told. You were told to go. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You are told to go and love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. You are told to go and repay, you know, don't repay evil with evil, but repay evil with good and do everything enthusiastically. Do you think we can do that? If you think you can do that, raise your hand. You should see every hand coming up in the sanctuary. Because remember what God told Moses when Moses protested? I'm going to help you out. You got to help. You got backup for this. So you can go out there and live that out through your life. Because I will tell you that when you come to the communion table this morning, knowing that, you know, you did nothing to do this. You did nothing to be able to come to the table. But where you are, Christ came to you. Christ saved you from the person that you were and made you into this beautiful creation that you are. And this communion table reminds you of that. So when you take communion this morning, because you do what you're told, right? You know, we pass the bread around. You take the bread and eat it when you get it, signifying your individual relationship with Christ. When the cup goes around, you hold the cup and we'll all drink it together, symbolizing our corporate unity with Christ, with all of our brothers and sisters around the world. But then you are to go and do what you have been told, and that's to go out and tell the others and invite them to join with us here. I would love to see the day when a group of Christians gathers around the communion table and we run out. Think about that for a second. I would love to see a day when we gather at the communion table and I have to send elders and deacons into the deacon's room behind the sanctuary to get more bread and more juice. They say, we don't have enough. There's so many people. I would love for there to be a day when you come into the sanctuary and if you don't arrive 30 minutes before the worship service, you don't have a seat. How about them apples? Because that's what we're to do. If we all genuinely serve the Lord with enthusiasm and did what we are told, I guarantee you that God will bless us beyond measure. Do you believe that, brothers and sisters? Everybody say, amen. Let us rise and sing our hymn number 571, Trust and Obey.